You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I know of no reason why gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. So goes the popular British verse celebrating Guy Fawkes Night in memory of the gunpowder plot. Guy Fawkes and the gunpowder plot is the inspiration for the recent film V for Vendetta. The Wachowski brothers, known for their Matrix film series, adapted their screenplay from a comic book. The comic, also titled V for Vendetta, was created by celebrated comic book writer Alan Moore. Red Eye Collective member Chris Spanos went to see the film, and he joins me in the studio now to give his review. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, Lisa.
So tell us a little bit more about where this film came from.
The film was adapted from the comic book, which was published between 1982 and 1988. And his inspiration for the comic was influenced by by Britain's political climate in the early 1980s. He thought that in the 1983 elections, Margaret Thatcher would Margaret Thatcher would lose. And that a left-of-center coalition Labour government would come to power. And despite this this electoral outcome, he thought Britain would still could be easily nudged into fascism. In that 1983 election, Margaret Thatcher actually won by a landslide. So he was wrong, but it didn't ease his concerns in any way. So that said, Moore has distanced himself from the film, as he's done with all adaptations of films based on his comics. But specifically stating with this film that the Wachowski brothers have watered down the anarchist character of V. For me, this wasn't really the case. It was a great film. I think very entertaining and stimulating, and for people interested to see how classical anarchist ideas and revolution are put in a film, it's fun to go watch.
So, can you give us an outline of the plot of the film?
Yes, the film is a dystopian science fiction film set in the year 2020 in a post-World War III Britain. And the fascist party, Norse Fire, is elected into government through a sort of biological warfare Reichstag fire, where they introduce into the population a virus which kills over 100,000 people. And they find scapegoats to blame. And now this party rules through detention camps, secretly detaining queers and immigrant communities. And they also rule through Orwellian propaganda campaigns, fear, xenophobia. The main character, V, is an anti-hero who wears a Guy Fawkes mask and sets the stage for a popular overthrow of his government.
Tell us a little bit more about V, the main character in the film.
Not much is known about him. His identity and origins in the film remain secret, and he wears this mask. However, he was a victim of the biological warfare campaign, and was placed in a resettlement camp and was a test subject for a hormone research program. And this is where he goes through his psychological and physical transformation, escaping the center and embarking on his vendetta. And his vendetta includes a series of high-level assassinations and setting the stage of the overthrow of the government. He differs from the standard comic book hero in that his purpose is to actually go out and empower the ordinary people rather than to do things for them.
And what is the name V based on? What does that stand for?
Lots of things. There are many allusions with this Roman numeral and letter. And V is Roman numeral 5 on his cell at the resettlement camp where he was a test subject. V for Vendetta is also a play off V for Victory, the World War II campaign slogan. And every chapter in the comic book is titled prominently with a word beginning with the letter V, vaudeville, the vanishing, vengeance, etc. When V first introduces himself to the other main character, Evie, he does so with a five syllable phrase. You can call me V. There's five syllables there. It's also fun to note that a large part of V's speech is in iambic pentameters, which is a poetic meter reliant on five pairs of syllables, the second syllable of each pair being more stressed than the first. And I can't give you an example of that.
I was going to ask you to, not to put you on the spot. Yeah. But
no. Way too complicated for me, but V pulls it off brilliantly, and it's very fun. He also listens to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, and there's lots of number and wordplay, which is very fun.
The film takes place in the year 2020. What's the relationship between the film's medium of futuristic science fiction and its politics?
In this sense, the medium of sci-fi fantasy is used more to comment on the present than on the future. There's one scene that shows a picture of a swastika, and above the swastika is the phrase "coalition of the willing," and it's just in passing. It's really quickly, and you really have to, it's just they're very quick and then gone. And that, of course, alludes to the campaign for the U.S. For their war and invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan. And oddly enough, the phrase is being reused again in the lead up to, well, their saber rattling and a potential war against Iran. That, of course, was, the Institute for Policy Studies put out this counter phrase, the coalition of the coerced, pointing out that promises and threats of military aid and foreign aid and diplomatic pressures were used to, get a bunch of countries to go along with the U.S. war. The film also includes much of the rhetoric and fear around the war on terror, which, George Bush was immediately after September 11th, making these statements, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. He had the axis of evil phrase and his countries who he identified as being within that axis. When those phrases were first being used, I remember thinking, wow, this stuff is pretty heavy. Like it really sounds like it came from a comic book. Like it just dripped thick with comic book rhetoric. And here you actually have a situation where a comic book, a film inspired by a comic book is, parodying that language. And it's actually art imitating life in this sense. And it's a situation where people in their everyday lives, can become desensitized to the war on terror, the rhetoric and reality of it. And then they can go into this mainstream theater and sit and watch this mainstream film, and they can look at other people's lives on the screen, and they can, look at a whole other world on the screen, and they can say, wow, this is scary stuff. And then they can leave the cinema and go out into their real world, everyday lives, and say, wow, in many ways, my world is kind of like that. This is really scary. So that's another way in which, I thought that that medium conveyed a comment about politics of today.
There are also a lot of classical conceptions of anarchism that are brought into the film, and as we mentioned, the influence of Guy Fawkes' legacy. What role do these classical and historical influences play in this film?
V's persona embodies a traditional anarchist, bomb-wielding terrorist, assassin, saboteur, and he wears that Guy Fawkes mask. And there's a phrase that Guy Fawkes was the only man to ever enter Parliament with honorable intentions, a claim possibly originating in 20th century anarchist posters, early 20th century anarchist posters. However, Fawkes was a English soldier and a member of the Roman Catholic, he was a member of a Roman Catholic group, and the Gunpowder Plot in 1605 was actually part of the Counter-Reformation movement against Protestantism, in which Guy Fawkes and his co-conspirators actually sought to implement a Catholic monarch. The Gunpowder Plot is used as inspiration, but any deeper uncovering of what Guy Fawkes was about, that's kind of left alone. The Gunpowder Plot, in many ways, it's a good plot for these tactics in the film.
What's your take on the way the film mixes the past, the present, and the future?
In many ways, using that sci-fi medium, it places classical anarchist ideas about violence as a tactic for social change and revolution back on the table in today's context. for violence between the classical anarchist stereotypes and today's social movements, you know, we've had numerous third world revolutions that use armed struggle, and as well as North American movements, the Weather Underground, Quebec Liberation Front, Squamish Five, and numerous armed sovereignty movements. But today it's kind of taboo, and I certainly don't hear anybody talking about it, and I think it's partially because it's a really hard thing to talk about. V is called by the other main character in the film, her name is Evie again, she calls him a monster at one point. And he is, in fact, a callous person in many respects. And he also cares a lot about the people. And he embraces violence. So I think there's something to be said there about the character of violence, how it has an effect on people, whether you're the perpetrator or the victim of violence, and especially in the context of left wing liberation struggles. If you use violence, it's going to affect our personalities, our characters, and we probably shouldn't. If we engage in a long term liberation struggle and we use these tactics, we probably shouldn't go on to be leaders of movements or hold influential positions or be in influential institutions. We should probably go take a vacation and get some therapy or something, because I think these tactics, they do have an effect on people. The other thing, the film ends on people overthrowing people flooding the streets of London, and there's in the building, the parliamentary buildings are explode. And in this idea, I think, is also a classical anarchist conception of a strategy where people are, just willing they're able to take over the reins of a society, even though they've been living in a totalitarian or fascist state, that somehow the remnants of the old society won't creep into the new. And in that way, it kind of puts that discussion on the table, because there is, of course, the other counter idea that, of course, the process of struggle builds is part of the process as well, and that builds our capacities and skills and characters to embody the kinds of social relations and social institutions that we want in the future society. So that's how the kind of film it ends on the more classical anarchist idea of a strategy, which is very ambiguous, and it does it's room for discussion and debate, and it is stimulating.
So what about V's identity, the identity of this masked man? Who is he, and what does he stand for?
V, towards the end of the film, he's in a battle where he's asked to reveal his identity, and he refuses, and he's surrounded by gunmen who all fire into him. He refuses, saying something to the effect of, "Beneath this mask is an idea, and ideas don't die." And of course, in the end, he does die, and he's given what's called the Viking's funeral. And you'll have to, and he sets the stage for a popular revolution, so that people can carry on the idea. And yes, I would suggest going to watch the film to, see how that all plays out.
Well, thanks for coming in and sharing your impressions of the film with us.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Chris Spanos, and the film V for Vendetta is playing at the Paramount Theater at 900 Burrard Street.